This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Shahid Abdullah, and you've tuned in to The Breakfast Grill. The retail sector is undergoing changes. An aging population, the boom of online shopping trends, and the reduced number of foot traffic in shopping malls are forcing retail players to transform their business model. Mothercare is Malaysia's leading maternity, baby and children product retailer, a franchise run by Kim Hinju Berhad. Kim Hinju Berhad was listed yesterday on the ACE market with an initial price of 39 cents per share, raising 32.7 million ringgit to assist with the company's expansion. Joining me in the studio this morning to speak about their Mothercare franchise and its recent IPO is Mr. Pang Kim Hin, the chairman of Kim Hinju Berhad. Mr. Kim Hin, welcome to The Breakfast Grill.
Good morning. Welcome, everyone.
Mr. Kim Hin, it has been an interesting year for the retail industry in Malaysia. Now growth remains steady, but it is expected to be lower for this year. What is your outlook for maternity, baby and children's product for Malaysia?
I think it is true that the general retail market is slow. But I'm very fortunate. I'm in a very different sector. The birth rate in Malaysia continue to increase. And this translates to higher volume of sales for my sector. And we intend to continue to capture our market share. And if not, we will likely to also increase our market share in the years to come.
But Mr. Kim Hin, we are actually experiencing smaller number of birth rate. In fact, we are also seeing a maturing number of millennials. So how much has Mothercare changed its marketing operational approach, especially taking into account this change of age demographic?
I think first of all is our statistics show that the birth rate continues to be very strong. But what is different is that the millennials, the way they do their buying pattern has changed. And we intend to continue capturing that market. We are spending a large portion of our IPO into buying a new IT system so that we can improve our customer relationship management system. This will allow us, once we fully implement it, to be able to know exactly what the customer buys, what they haven't bought, and we can prompt them to like, for example, they buy a high chair, we can prompt them to buy a car seat. And this will help us to improve the way we connect with our customers.
So part of the IPO proceeds that you mentioned earlier is expected to be invested in transforming part of your IT backhaul infrastructure as well as e-commerce. Now tell us more about this digital transformation plan.
We tend to be multi-pronged with regards to the e-commerce sector. We will sell not only in our own website, we will also be in marketplaces, and we will also sell to pure online players like AngelLand. So the new millennials, they never shop only on one particular website. They have a tendency to shop in different websites. Mm. So it doesn't matter where they shop, yeah. We want a piece of the action.
You spoke about some of the proceeds in the IPO will be allocated for this, and specifically we're talking about 3 million ringgit. Is that enough for you to make an impact, you know, in transforming your company into digital?
Well, we have done a study about the type of system that we intend to buy. It's still under consideration, but it should be sufficient because the amount of expenditure has to commensurate also with the market size that we have.
What sort of technology are we speaking about here? Are we speaking about including technologies like artificial intelligence, big data and analytics? Are these the technology that you're looking into?
Absolutely, especially with regards to the customer relationship management. We will capture for every customer precisely what they are buying, when they have bought, the child's birthday, the age of the child, and with those analytics, the system will then prompt us as to what else they, at the right time, what they should be buying.
So, Mr. Kim Hin, you're certain, yeah, with 3 million ringgit, you have done your due diligence and it is going to be enough for you to get this one right?
Definitely. It should be more than sufficient.
Yeah. How about all the other vertical layers that support your online strategy, like inventory management as well as logistics? Is 3 million going to be enough?
Based on what is available today, there are platforms available that allow the system to be interfaced with the warehouse management as well as with the front end. So at any one time, we will know what is available in the store and what is available in the warehouse and what is also currently being sold. And it also help us in our buying. So everything is going to be fully integrated. That is what we are looking for, a fully integrated system that allow us to do online sales, offline sales, as well as managing our customer relationship management system.
And this technology, is it going to be built in-house or is it going to be outsourced to third party or another online platform partner?
At this point in time, we are still looking at all the options and we should come to a decision very soon. We have a team of experts that's been assembled to look into this system.
Okay, let's move on. A large part of your IPO is to open new outlets. Now, is this necessary, especially when you're speaking about digital transformation?
Strangely enough, you know, if you look at my store profiles, we are very focused and concentrated in the Klang Valley. We have recently only opened a second store in the Johor Bahru area, which is called in the South Quay Shopping Centre.
Again, if we were to draw parallel with Mothercare UK, which are closing their stores to focus more on digital presence, does it still make sense for you to continue your physical expansion, especially in the Klang Valley?
There are a few major differences between UK and Malaysia. I think the first thing to note is that our online sales through the e-commerce is still much lower in Malaysia as compared to the developed countries. Mm. The second thing about the developed countries is that they have a declining birth rate, whereas Malaysia continue to have an increase in birth rate. And the third thing to note is that Malaysians, they just love shopping. They whenever they have a free time, they will all go shopping.
Okay, but are you being strategic about this? You probably have it spot on with regards to your presence of more, for an example, in like Mid Valley, KLCC, and Wan Utama, which has very high foot traffic. But would this be the same case for malls like Velocity Mall and Empire Shopping Gallery?
Those two malls, like for example, take a case of the Empire Shopping Gallery. Mm. He has one of the most popular supermarket in town. It's called Jaya Supermarket. And our store is just going to be a few steps away from there. So it's a fantastic location, which in good times, no one will ever give us a spot shop space which is so close to a supermarket. We will always be kicked upstairs to the highest floor. One thing good about this slowdown is that we are now able to talk to landlords to give us prime space within the shopping centre rather than on the fifth floor or sixth floor, which is the highest floor of any shopping centre. And that's where you always see the kids. But I also want to re-emphasise the point that we are still not visible in many big cities, like for example in Malacca, in Ipoh, in Kuantan, and in Miri. We are still not there. So there are still ample opportunities. Because even if you have an e-commerce, my kind of business is such that there are certain things the mother must be able to talk to the sales girl, and they must be well trained, of course. Like for example, a new mother, they want to learn everything about feeding.
Okay.
They don't want to buy a stroller, they need someone to tell them the whole range of all the different strollers and what is the difference between one with the other. You can never get this online.
And this is all about customer service,
yes,
isn't it?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's about being able to hold those items physically. Okay, so if we're speaking about the balance between online presence and then offline presence, let's look at other regions. You're underrepresented in the northern region as well as the east coast. Now, don't you think that the focus should be in these regions instead?
We are getting to there, but at present we are also studying the demographics, because our product is still considered premium, although they are very affordable. It's not like you're buying a Prada or a Gucci. We do sell even baby bottles which are few dollars, few ringgit.
So you don't think that there's enough affluent group within this region at the moment based on your studies?
We think at this present moment we are going to places where we can make more money than those locations at present. But we will get to there. We will get there.
And that's not going to be in the next 2 or 3 years, is it?
On the contrary, I think after this, after the opening of Empire, as well as
Empire, as well as Sunwave Velocity,
we will then start looking at which other towns which we will now go into.
Okay, so still on the subject of balancing that online as well as offline presence. Now, can we expect any sort of transformation in terms of your customer experience? Now, how will Mothercare look like now, especially when you integrate both your online as well as your offline experience?
I think it's very important that offline stores, especially when you go into a new location, that we try to display as big a range as possible. So, for example, we will not have a store which has the size of a pavilion, because pavilion is very fashion centric. Mm. Whereas if you go to the smaller towns, you will be selling strollers, you'll be selling car seats, you'll be selling cots, you'll be selling high chairs, you'll be selling feeding, you'll be selling safety product. So you have to have all this, because we are basically a one-stop shop. The moment the mother says, "Hey, I'm pregnant," they must immediately think that, oh, the first stop must be Mothercare. Whether you buy from me, it doesn't matter. At least it gives you everything that, from A to Z, that you're going to need.
Brilliant. Now joining us on The Breakfast Grill this morning is Pang Kim Hin, the chairman of Kim Hin Ju Berhad. Now, we'll come back for more discussion with Kim Hin on how they intend to improve their profit margin. So stay with us on BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
You've tuned in to BFM 89.9. On the Breakfast Grill this morning is Pang Kim Hin, the chairman of Kim Hin Ju Berhad. Just now, we wanted to get into your financials, where we wanted to speak about how you could improve your profit margin. Now, for year 2018, your group's revenue grew moderately to about 98 million ringgit, which is about 4.7% year-on-year, while your core profit dropped about 6.6% year-on-year to about 11.6 million due to high administrative expenses as well as professional listing fees. Now, how do you hope to grow your profit level and margins this year?
Well, first and foremost is that the listing fees is quite substantial relative to my overall profit. So for the going forward, none of this will be captured, you know. It's a one-off cost. And also in 2018 itself, it was an election year, and we were being very conservative with our buying, because there will be a lot of distractions for the shoppers. So we decided to play it safe. But we are now back into the norm, and we believe that the market going forward will continue to be very good for all of us.
Are you satisfied with the profit margin that you're making at the moment?
We want to continue to remain competitive, and we'll be quite happy to remain at the current gross profit margin.
In the first part, we spoke a lot about your online business. Now, what is your expectation? How much is your online business expected to contribute towards your overall revenue?
I think it's a given that our percentage of online business will continue to grow in the future, and once the new system is in place, we will probably get quantum leap there, because our present system is purely transactional. There's nothing. It's not linked to the customer relationship management. So once that is done, we will be able to market very specific to each customer. At present, it's to the general public. It's very different when it's customer-centric, when you do your marketing exactly tailored for each individual customer.
But at the moment, you mentioned earlier that you have yet to settle in terms of what is your online strategy in some ways, whether you're going to partner with a third-party platform provider or you're going to build something in-house. Now, all that will add up to cost eventually. Now, it could even eat up your profit margin. So do you expect that by going online that some of the margins will have to go to perhaps a third-party instead?
Well, you know, we have already made the decision that we want to capture the business regardless whether they are on my website, in a third-party website, or is on a, into a marketplace. We will leave it to the consumer to decide where they go. But we will try as much as possible to drive the business onto my platform. At present, we are already doing this actually offline. We also have a distribution business. So So when people shop with them, we are already earning a lower margin than when they buy from my store. And the overall profit margin, we hope that will continue to be the same as we go forward.
Brilliant. Now, let's talk about Mothercare UK, where your franchise came from. Now, they sold off their ELC business to their rival, which is The Entertainer. Is this adding up to your franchising and perhaps your operational cost in any way?
In fact, the terms with Entertainer for my ELC is exactly the same. There is no change. In fact, we have always viewed Entertainer as the best people for the toy business. I met them 5 years ago, and I've already made the decision that if I ever go into a toy business, they're going to be my partners. They really understand the toy business. The depth that they have on the toy business, when I talk to them, I share many things in common with them, because I have the same depth of the my business, of my sector of business on the baby business.
So despite this change of ownership, there has been no change in terms of the franchising deal.
I want to make 2 points first. They couldn't have found a better partner when they sold the ELC. Because first and foremost, we are already going to partner Entertainer way before even the Mothercare sold the ELC.
Right.
And if they really have to sell this business, it's far better to give somebody who really understands the toy business. Imagine what would have happened if they had sold it to a hedge fund. They are just coming in with financials, but no knowledge of the toys business. We all seen what happened to Toys R Us.
That's right.
They all sold to all this, and it has hit the wall.
Okay, so let's focus on this toy business. Now, your toy segment, and you mentioned earlier Toys R Us, and your toy segment contributes about less than 10% of your overall business revenue. Now, is this tie-up with The Entertainer worth pursuing further?
Oh, very good question. I'm glad you asked this. My sector that I'm swimming is actually a very small pond. When we studied all the total imports into Malaysia, I'm only swimming in a total market size of 230 million ringgit. The toy sector is 760 million ringgit. So imagine the quantum size. They are in a big pond and I'm in a small pond. So I'm very glad I listed, because if I didn't do this, to do the statistics for Bursa, I'm not even aware that. So the moment I looked at it, it was the day I made the decision that I'm now going to partner Entertainer.
Speaking of that, do you expect this segment to continue growing? I know you disagree with me, but the stats that we have shows that overall fertility rate for a woman aged between 15 to 49 in 2018 is estimated to be 1.9 children, which is below the level of replacement, namely 2.1. Assuming that there is a shrinking birth rate, now online competition as well as alternative form of education and entertainment, which is now available online, what data do you have to support that this toy business is still expected to grow?
I have to confess that I have to study this 2018 figures, because our sales doesn't reflect this. So one reason could be that we are capturing a bigger market share, or my customer base is still having the same number of babies. When we did this exercise, we found that the compounded annual growth rate continues to grow at 6% per annum consistently over the last few years. It's actually is in the prospectus. And then the other point I want to note is that there is now actually among the millennials a big shift to get the children to buy physical toys rather than be glued onto their laptop or onto their...
The iPad. That's right.
There is this great movement of millennials to ensure that the children are not glued to the laptop or the iPad. And many people are now buying them Lego toys and anything that is educational in nature to make them use their hands and their creativity. And also it allows the parents also to interact with the children when they are fixing things.
We can move on from that conversation now. So if you are going online, there will be much stiffer competition as you're not just competing with just the brick and mortar, but also small businesses and entrepreneurs who are also present online. How would you react to that?
I do recognize that online business is very, very crucial going forward. But I also do not want to de-emphasize the fact that my kind of business, you still need the offline. Because when you want to buy even a cot, they still want to feel the quality of the wooden cot that they're buying, making sure there are no splinters, you know, because it's the last thing you want. And when it comes to buying strollers, there are so many different types of strollers available in the market. There's no way you can get all this information online unless you're in the chat room. And even when you go into a chat room and you listen, all the different mothers will all have different type of strollers.
And how about those who are relying solely on purchasing online? How would they be able to tell the difference between your product as well as another product from a different vendor?
I think most people who shop online are those people who have already decided and seen and feel. So maybe you're right in the sense that they shop online, but offline they've already looked at those products and they have decided exactly what to buy. I can't imagine anybody buying a stroller without even seen and felt it and compared it with other strollers.
Okay. Let's talk about another aspect of your business, which is your foreign currency. Now, how about your exposure to foreign currency fluctuation? Because your group mainly imports its product with approximately 75% of inventory purchases. So this fluctuation of foreign currency, how do you manage your exposure?
We have been very fortunate in the sense that the sterling has been very weak. So in terms of ringgit versus the sterling, it has been very consistent over the last 12 months. And it continues to be so.
Okay, well, we are almost running out of time, Mr. Kim Hin. So I do have one question, perhaps a personal one. Now, you brought mother care to Singapore, and today you have your son, who is now continuing the business, the family legacy down in Singapore. Being in the business of raising the next generation, was there anything that you have learned from passing over the business over to your son?
Well, one thing is this. There is now I call it reverse mentorship. They are the one who's mentoring me with what the new millennials are buying, what kind of how to do the marketing, how to buy all these new IT system. In fact, the new IT system is under the responsibility of my son to select for Malaysia, and he's 30 years old, and he's at age which is at the cutting edge of new technology. So. The younger they are today to run the new businesses, the far better you are.
On that note, Pang Kim Hin, thank you for speaking to us on The Breakfast Grill. I've been speaking to Pang Kim Hin, the chairman of Kim Hin Joo Berhad. You've been listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Shariz Abdullah for BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile for unlimited experiences. Baru la best.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.